723 and 1167 in your pew Bibles, back of the chair Bibles. I'll be reading from Isaiah 45. This was written about 740 years before Christ was born. It's a book that contains many prophecies about the coming Messiah. And I'll be reading from Colossians, a letter written to the church in Colossae, written by the Apostle Paul to new believers about how to live out their faith. So, Isaiah 45, verses 20 through 23. Gather together and come. Assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about their idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, and by me every tongue will swear. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Got a little distracted for one second. Pardon me. You have seen a spy movie at some point in your life, right? You know the way the plot usually goes. The secret agent gets the secret mission and has to go far away to some exotic place and try and blend in until he accomplishes this dangerous mission and makes it back alive. Well, it would probably be a poorly spent $5 or $20 if you get popcorn, a poorly spent bunch of money to go to a spy movie and have the spy get the secret mission, get the disguise, go far away to the exotic place, get a library card, join a book club, get a nice apartment and a nice job, some new clothes, get a few decades older and forget why that spy was there. So it would be if the church loses its mission. When I was growing up, a band called the Newsboys wrote a song, melancholy song called Lost the Plot, about the church in a condition that has forgotten why it's there, has lost its passion. One of the lyrics says, "You forgave and we forgot." That's a very, very sad state. The church has a mission, and that mission is the heart of all that it's done, all that it does. Today we're in the fifth topic in our series about the core values of Haines Presbyterian Church. Values that you preached to me first, and now I'm preaching back to you. When the pastor nominating committee asked me questions, they said, "Well, what do you think of our core values? What do you have to say about them?" And praise God, I had read them. Amen. But my first answer might have seemed a little inadequate, because the first thing I had to say was, these values came from you. I have confidence that we can live them out because they've come from you. They've come from your congregation. So from your heart has come a sermon to me that everyone in this church is a missionary and an evangelist. And that is a message that's close to my heart. So I'm glad to preach it back to you today. But I got to tell you, you might be like me. You might be a little bit scared of evangelism, right? I grew up a bit sheltered, a bit protected from some of life's scarier things, and evangelism was one of them. Yeah, I was in the church culture that said, you know, whoa, passing out tracts and asking someone where they're going to go if they die tonight. That's what the Baptists do. We don't have to worry about that. That is not our bailiwick. We don't have to worry about that. But the fact of the matter is that this is the mission of the church, and we're a part of it. So, the bad news is that we're not off the hook by being Presbyterian, or whatever you are, you know, whatever you've been, not off the hook. The good news is that evangelism and the mission of the church is a group effort. It's a group effort. I want you to imagine being down at a dock and a person speaking to you and some other people saying, all right, this is what you have to do. This is what you need to do. These are the instructions I'm giving. You need to come down to the dock, get into the water craft, go out into the water, and come back. Now, if you were looking at a dock with six kayaks and you were one of six people, that'd be an individual sport. You get out there and you paddle your kayak. But if you're being talked to in a crowd of thousands and behind the speaker is a cruise ship, there's no way that's a one-person job. I could not have my hand casually on the steering wheel and throw a rope out the side and expect to be put up to the dock the right way. It takes a team to move a boat that size. And the mission of God's church is great. It's huge. It takes a team. When you give money in the plate this Sunday or whatever Sunday you remember the checkbook or whatever it is, you'll be giving 20% of every dollar to missions in this church. That's a higher percentage than average. Missions like Vacation Bible School, missions that go around the world the way the shoes did, missions that even go into some of the most desperate places, like South Sudan. You're part of a team, and we're working together, so you have that. If you're participating in the life of the church, you are participating in missions. And I'm not just saying that. I have, as evidence, the scripture in Colossians, where the Apostle Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer and pray for us. I want to take a minute to talk about the Apostle Paul. I don't think there's anybody in the world. Now, even though there may be things written by Paul that are hard for you or hard for I don't think there's anyone in the world who has done more good, had more of a positive impact. Any human being, you know, put Jesus Christ in another category. He is God and human. But any plain, straight human being, I don't know that anyone's ever made a greater impact than Paul. Because not only did he establish the first churches, some churches are still in existence 2,000 years later, but he wrote words to those churches that we're reading today, those churches we're reading today in worship. And somewhere in some dark corner of some oppressed nation where a Bible can get you killed, somebody's reading what Paul wrote while he was in prison waiting for his day of death for sharing it with you and I. Paul started as a very educated and high status teacher of the scriptures. He was educated well and educated with an education that gave him credentials, good credentials, and a good name. And he used those credentials and that education to hurt people, to persecute Christians, to take away their property and call for them to be thrown into prison, and even to smile upon their death, their execution, their murder. But one day he met Jesus. And Jesus said to him, why are you persecuting me? And then Jesus said to him, I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for my name. And that's what he did. That's what he was doing when he wrote this letter that we read this morning. He was in chains in a prison with no television. In a dark prison. And his care was for the churches, and those churches were filled with new Christians. Some were raised Jewish, and some were raised in the Greco-Roman religions with their different gods. But all of them were new to the faith in Jesus, because faith in Jesus itself was new. And he asked the newbies, help me. I can't do it alone. I'm trying to preach the good news, and I'm trying to preach it clearly. An educated man, an experienced man, a man who'd been shipwrecked and flogged and beaten and stoned and left for dead, a high-status, powerful man, a man who performed miracles, asking newbies for help. If that's not evidence that we're working together with this great mission, then I don't have enough evidence to satisfy anyone. We are together. It's a group effort. That's the good news. The bad news is it's an individual responsibility. Evangelism is a team effort and an individual responsibility. If I were called into court and the judge said, Reverend Dana Perriard, come to the witness stand and tell the court what you witnessed April 15th at 9 p.m. I wouldn't be able to say, Your Honor, can I call a friend? Can my mom talk for me? My mom could say this is what I saw him said, but that's her testimony. If I'm going to witness to what I saw, it has to be done myself. It's a you job. And there are many things in the Christian faith that can only be done by you. Only you can open your heart to receive Christ as Savior, as that young girl did in VBS. And only you can witness to that Savior who has come into your heart as you. In all of creation, there's never been you made before, and there never will be you made again. And if the Lord, who created all things, wants you to witness to your experience, only you can do it. It's an individual responsibility. Now, that's the bad news. The mediocre, mixed up, good and bad news is that although evangelism and the witness of the church, mission and evangelism, is a team effort and an individual responsibility, it's a timely opportunity. That's a mixture. It means it's your responsibility. You'll have to do it. But there will be moments that come that are the right moment. And moments that come that are not as right. So you don't have to feel ashamed or afraid that you haven't witnessed in a moment that isn't as right. But you do have to be ready for the moments that are right. As it says here in verse 5 and 6, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer everyone. Your conversation, because it's your witness, your individual responsibility. Be wise, making the most of every opportunity, because some things are opportunities and some are not. If people talk a lot about how great the fishing is in Alaska, and then sadly, some people save a lifetime to go fish and they come 2 weeks too early. If I were to go to the Chilkoot River at the beginning of May, just fired up to catch my limit of sockeye, I would leave fired up, but not the same way I came. The opportunity isn't there. The opportunity is there is when the fish are there. And blueberries, if I were to go up Sunshine Mountain at the beginning of May, ready to bring home $800 worth of wild Alaskan blueberries, I would be very disappointed if I went at the wrong time because the opportunity's not there. But when the opportunity's there, it's time to move. It's time to do it. And I really want to get some blueberries. This is the week. So often, the moment will come when somebody opens up. Somebody, they've just lost someone, or they just gained something. They've just talked about something that they haven't talked about with you before. And at that moment, it may be a little frightening, but if you hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit, then I want to bring you back to the beginning of the passage. If the Apostle Paul, who raised a guy from the dead, needs prayer to be a witness, then so do you. So in that moment, that window of opportunity, when you hear the Holy Spirit whisper, when you're talking to something, it's to someone, and something comes along in the conversation where the hardness of heart is just separating a bit, that hardness toward God, quickly pray. Lord, pray like I'm going to have us pray together in a moment when we finish the sermon. Lord, I've told you in my heart that I want to be ready. Now I need your help. I'm a shy Presbyterian. I don't know how to do this. Just help me say one word, and I know that you can do it. You see, this evangelism stuff is kind of over our heads. This is big stuff. This is difficult. I didn't even know in Haines where you may know everybody from the beginning of time and everybody is somebody's cousin. I don't know, you know. You won't want to say the wrong thing, or maybe think people think you've got a reputation. It may be hard to step out in faith and say something. Maybe you'll feel you'll be judged. I don't know. In any circumstance, in any town, anybody speaking, anybody listening, you're in the miracle zone if you're wanting God to touch somebody's heart so that they will become a believer in Christ. The dead don't raise themselves. We were dead in sin, and something happened. Flesh, if you or I have come to believe in Christ in a saving way, where our hearts have been regenerated and we're born of the Spirit, that didn't happen by our ingenuity. That was a miracle. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to us. So for us to even have something to witness to, we're already in the miracle zone. The fact that this church is here, where it's in the miracle zone, any church. So, in that moment, you're going to need faith. The mission of the church, evangelism, is a group effort, an individual responsibility, and a timely opportunity that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so, in a moment when we pray, I'll lead us in a prayer, and I'll ask God to help us have faith, and help us to make a commitment in our heart to act with that faith when the time comes. Nobody's going to judge you. I'm not going to know how you did. I'm not going to know how, you know, I'm not going to let you know how I did either, most likely. But we're going to step up together and do what we're called to do, to each one of us be a missionary and evangelist. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we know that you care. We know that you're waiting for your children to be reconciled to you. You taught us through Jesus that the way a father would wait for an estranged son, you wait for your children the way you waited for us. Lord, help us first of all to trust in your heart. And then we pray that you help us to repent, to turn away from any willful disobedience to answer your call. We pray that you'd stir us up with faith and help us as we're going out, as we're in our conversations, as we're living our lives, help us to be alert and watchful and thankful and ready, and give us a cue. And then give us faith, and then give us power, so that we can be used by you to give a witness that only we can give. And we pray that more hearts would discover you, would be reconciled to you, would be changed from stone to flesh. It's your grace that's at work, and it's your kingdom that's coming. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.